Thank you, Tim. I now invite Tetsuya Tanaka, who's going to give a presentation on behalf of a representative of the International Maritime Organization.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to try to represent IMO for the next 10 minutes and present on the IMO's development in addressing emission from international shipping. Actually, the presentation slide and the speaking note in front of me is provided by IMO. So first, I want to say thank you so much for IMO for providing this information and supporting to this ICAO colloquium. So first, the general introduction of IMO. It is, you know, the UN specialized agency in the field of international shipping, including addressing the impact of shipping on the environment. Over the past 52 years, IMO has developed and enacted a comprehensive regulatory framework which regulate international shipping from the safety, security, efficiency of navigation, and environmental protection perspectives. Most of them are enforced and are implemented by vast majority of IMO's 169 member states. In air pollutants and greenhouse gas are most of the major emissions from ships to be regulated, and the related work started at IMO from the late 1980s. In addition to the prohibiting the release of ozone-depleting substances in accordance with the Montreal Protocol, MARPOL Convention Annex 6 regulates exhaust emission from nitrogen oxides and sulfur oxides from all international shipping. Following a three-year revision process, IMO's Maritime Environmental Protection Committee, it's called MEPC, in October 2008 adopted amendment to the convention Annex 6 to further reduce emission from all ships. Main changes are progressive reduction of emission from NOx, SOx, and particulate matter. So far, the issue is the MARPOL Convention Annex 6 does not cover greenhouse gases, in particular CO2 emission, the most significant of the greenhouse gases emitted by all ships. So to address the GHG emission from international shipping, IMO's Assembly Resolution A963 in 2003 on IMO's policy and related practice to the reduction of greenhouse gas emission from international shipping requested the MEPC, the committee, to identify and develop mechanisms necessary to achieve the limitation or reduction of greenhouse gas emission from international shipping and to develop greenhouse gas work plan. On this basis, MEPC has given extensive consideration to control GHG emission from international shipping, and the organization has developed specific technical and operational measures with the aim of making them mandatory in the near future. And on the third building block, the market-based measures, IMO is working also in accordance with its work plan culminating in 2011. Well, unlike other land-based industry regulated mainly through national legislation, international shipping requires global solution like ICAO needs as well. Shipping is one of the most international of all the world major industry, and this is demonstrated by the diversity of national interest that may be involved in the design, building, ownership, operation, and crewing of the ships. Most ships are traveling between different countries, different nations, different continents, and different legal jurisdictions, very often far away from the country of their registration. So ships are competing in a single global market and must be regulated at the global level for the regulation to be effective. Accordingly, a future GHG regime for international shipping should not lead to distortion of international competition or create new barriers in international trade. To this end, IMO has actively engaged in the development of a robust regime to control GHG emissions from international shipping at the global level. Well, the IMO's MEPC has been assisted in its work by, it's called the second IMO GHG study in 2009. This study came to the conclusion, number one, the IMO, the international shipping is estimated to emit 870 million tons, or about 2.7% of the global CO2 emissions as of 2007. And mid-range emission scenario show that in the absence of policies, ship emissions could grow by 200% to 300% by year 2050 compared to 2007 level as a result of the growth in world trade. The significant potential for reduction of GHG emission through technological operational measure could be possible, but it is estimated that those measures will not be able to provide real reduction if demands continue to increase. So this is the measure, it's called the Energy Efficiency Design Index. This is IMO's technical measures, and it provides a figure that measures the attainable energy efficiency of a specific ship design. It enables the ship designer to optimize various parameters and provide an efficiency rating for the ships before it is built. This index will therefore stimulate technological development of all the components influencing fuel efficiency. Through the application of this index, ships in the near future will have to be designed and constructed in an efficient, energy-efficient manner. This ship energy efficient management plan is being developed under MEPC with invaluable inputs from shipping industry as a practical tool to increase the energy efficiency of ships in operation. This plan is to encourage the ship operators to apply the many fuel saving practices currently available. This energy efficiency operational indicator also enable operators to measure the fuel efficiency of a ship in operation. The indicator enables the comparison between the individual ships and thereby facilitate the adoption of appropriate measure to reduce energy consumption. The indicator makes it possible for operators to monitor the effectiveness of any measures applied in accordance with the ship management ship energy management plan. In March 2010, the MEPC in its 60 meeting, the control of the greenhouse gas emission from international shipping was the dominant agenda in the meeting. Then, now we can move to the element of the market-based measure. Regarding the market-based measure, the MEPC 16th meeting in March 2010, this year, received a large number of documents, proposals, from PITCH. 10 proposals on market-based measure, including the International Fund for Greenhouse Gas Emissions from Ships, the Global ETS for International Shipping, the Trading with Energy Efficiency Credit based upon the Energy Design Index, those are proposed. Then the 10 proposals from those documents are identified for further review. To make progress on those market-based measures, the meeting, the MEPC meeting in March, agreed on the establishment of an expert group to undertake the feasibility study and impact assessment of the proposed market-based measures. The scope of the feasibility and the impact assessment is to identify for each market-based measure the reduction potential of GHG emissions from international shipping, as well as its impact on world trade and sustainable development of the shipping industry. The assessment will also review the practicality of the implementation various options and provide information on how the difference in capability in developed and developing countries can be addressed in by the different options. The expert group on market-based measure will submit its report to the next session of the MEPC, which will be held in September 2010, on the same timing of our assembly, at which time the MEPC should clearly indicate which market-based measure it wishes to evaluate further and identify elements that could be included. The work on developing the market-based measure to a mature, effective, and robust level will most probably continue thereafter, so that the next MEPC meeting, 62nd session in July 2011, is able to complete the work and approve the chosen market-based measures. Well, it is likely that a new legal instrument or treaty will be needed to establish the selected market-based measures. The legal framework and treaty text will continue to be developed in parallel with the development of the market-based measures, and the new treaty instrument may be adopted by a diplomatic conference of the IMO toward the end of 2012. The most uncertain element will be the speed of ratification of the new legal instrument and its entry into force requirements. The early implementation through an MOU by developed states might be considered. So before closing, I just want to say from the perspective of ICAO that, well, I think it could be fair to say that the ICAO and IMO are somehow on the same boat, or we better to say in the same airplane, in terms of the treatment of the international bunker fuels in the next climate change agreement. Both ICAO and IMO are exploring the global solution and the comprehensive mitigation strategy of the technological, operational, and market-based measures. I think it's time for us to really think about the possible necessary synergy with IMO for the success of these international transport sectors. Thank you.